You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball. Over the middle. It's Dory! It's Dory!
He comes back. Say goodbye. Ahmad Black in his final game as a Gator takes it all the way home and sends Urban out a winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, did I get started on time? Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy, Corey.
It's Dan.
Della Torre.
And your boy, Jay Scott, 2-5. What it do, y'all boys?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir.
I like the energy, guys. Same corner, same time. We are back at it, man. The most entertaining, the most informal podcast that you will find on these Gator streets, man. It's been an eventful weekend. We're going to talk a little bit of everything, but make sure y'all like, subscribe, share, retweet. We're going to get it on and pop it, man. Big motion. Dan, how you feeling, man, before we get into the shenanigans? How you feeling, Dan?
You good? Feeling good. We'll talk a little bit about it after we do the ad read, but I do want to thank everybody beyond this, right? Like, we're talking real life here. Thanks for the prayers for my mom for her surgery. So she's still recovering. That was last Monday. So I do want to thank everybody for that. And, you know, certainly it's been a weekend. Got to see Nate Bargatze, got to play golf. Otherwise, nice. Pretty relaxing weekend. Otherwise, you know,
did you hit Nate with the twin? What's up, twin?
No, I didn't.
Missed an opportunity. The seats looked good enough that you could have pulled it off. A picture of you and Nate in the same building. Now I just think you had somebody taking a picture of you while you were on stage. Still have no confirmation that you and Nate Bargatze have never been in the same room together. So
yeah, no, now there's that's funny. He did come like near where I was sitting, which on the opposite side, though. So if I would have gotten tickets, it would have been. But no, great show. It seemed like there was a ton of people that listened to the pod that were there. A lot of people tagged me that they were there, that they were watching me perform. So all in all, very, very funny time. Great weekend. And then, of course, just all the other shenanigans. But we're going to say that for an ad break so that you guys have to listen to our sponsors.
Already one time for the greatest folks. Oh no, how was everybody else weekend? Hey, yeah. I see you. Look at Jordan in the Jaguar gear. I told y'all that man wasn't no dolphin, man. Look at that, bro. Duval.
I'm in the middle. I got a rope for my guys. I put in the blood, sweat, and tears of my boys these off season, man. So I had it's only right. But big dub for the Jags. I know Dan is not a fan of the Jacksonville crew, but big dub on there and a very dominant one. But
yes, sir.
Dolphins did their thing too, right?
Yeah, Two in a row. This is what the Dolphins are going to do. They put themselves out of playoff contention, and they rattle off like a 6-1 record.
Exact. Sounds about right.
If the Dolphins are winning right now, they're actually losing. They should be trying to stink for a new coach in a high draft pick. I'm going to be honest with you, man.
I agree.
You
can say that again.
Yeah, we're out of the top 10. We are out of the top 10 in picks, which is what we do. It's exactly what we do. We're right on schedule.
We're right on schedule to get the guy at like pick 13. That is a reach because it's like development. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We are getting the 3-year project at pick 14.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it's not going to work out. And then he's going to end up going on like a 2-year, like $1 million contract. And he's going to become an all world player. It's just how it works.
Like similar to Jaden Phillips right now.
Yeah.
Right. Shout out to Jaden Phillips, man. I definitely thought he was going to be better than that. Nick, how was Oxford, man? Like, how was it out there, man? Did you get jumped? No.
No, I forget the guy's name. We go out Thursday night, Atlanta Thursday, get down there. I'm with Ben Chase, Joe Stasio, with their significant others. And there's a guy who I just meet, and I get drunk, and I can tell that, like, I said something that got under his skin. And then just whatever altered state I was in, I was like, oh, let's just keep doing that. To the point where I thought he was going to get mad at me. Then we saw him the next day, and he goes, hey, how are you doing? His tailgate. And he goes, yeah, my dad's here. I told my dad he shouldn't talk to you because you're really good at getting under people's skin. And I was like, yeah. I think at one point I was like, really? You think this is like a top-tier SEC town? He's like, what's worse than Oxford? And I was like, I think just Arkansas, just Fayetteville. And it got him hot. Oxford is a beautiful little town. I enjoy the square. It's like Paula Deen on level 11. Like, if you turn Paula Deen up, it's just very southern.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute little town. Cute little stadium. It's not loud. They could add more seats, but there's only 20,000 people that live there in the town.
Like outside of students.
20,000.
It's a lot smaller than I thought. Is that the smallest SEC town?
Well, shout out to the speaking of getting into a fight, the breakfast, Saturday, what was their damn show called?
Breakfast with the Gators.
Breakfast with the Gators. Sorry, Jackson. Jackson's listening. He told me Fayetteville's nice. It certainly isn't. Thought they were going to get into a fight. Jackson's out there with a Lane Kiffin photoshopped in Florida Gator gear next to DJ Lagway t-shirt. The Breakfast with the Gator boys were – the Breakfast boys were out hot handing out tickets. I saw like a ticket that was like a ticket to the Lane train going to Gainesville.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big proponent of you get back what you put out. And I think I even text Jackson on Saturday. I was like, bro, you're trying to get into a fight today. You're actively looking for hands to be thrown today, but enjoyed.
I like the energy.
Enjoyed Oxford, cool little town. Charging $140 to get into a college bar is insane.
Gainesville does it too, man. Not that much, but
$140 to get into like get out of
just
here.
A bar. Like nobody got naked or anything.
Just a bubble.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I didn't pay the $140. That's not what they were advertising. I didn't pay to get in, so I don't know.
Somebody got naked. Had to. I didn't do anything special. For the new listeners, I don't know if you knew the Stadium Miguel. We catch up on our lives before we get busy with the content. We'll get to it in a minute. Do anything special this weekend, Jordan?
No, nothing too crazy. My wife actually was in Nashville for some event. I think it had to do with like Down syndrome or something like that. With some of the Marlins players and a couple of other MLB players at like an event up there. So she went up there and like did some stuff. So I was dad all weekend with the kids. But it was easy vibes, good vibes. Took them to the pool one day. Just get them out of the house and let them run around. Let them get nice and tired. But 4-0 dad stuff, none usual. I watched the Gators. You know, we know the story. I don't got the helmet on. Y'all know it's back. They're catching more and more dust week after week. So we'll see how it goes, man. Hopefully I get to put it on. If not, one more game. Just give me Thanksgiving weekend. But we'll get there one day. But I want to put on the helmet at least one more time for the season over.
I think we got one more in us. We'll see what's up, man. Florida State, like they still a little engine that could. They still chewing right now, but Right. I think we're going to put hands on them people. Let's get into it, man. One time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services, man. Anything you need insured from the Panhandle to the Keys, my man Greg can take care of you. The best of the best in customer service. I've been a client customer of Greg for every bit of 5, 6, 7 years. I lost count. But you're not going to get a call center rep. You're not going to get some random guy in a foreign country. You're going to get somebody in Greg's office to be able to take care of whatever needs you need as far as customer service and also with the sale of trying to, you know, find a better quote. I'm pretty sure he can save you money. Visit bruntinsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204. Home, auto, life, motorcycle, RVs, boats, anything that has wheels, I'm pretty sure he can insure it. 954-589-2204, bruntinsurance.com. Either way, I'm pretty sure he can save you some money. Tap in with my guy, Greg.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, let's get into it. You guys want to talk about the Ole Miss game? Is that what everybody's here for?
Wait, what do you want to leave? I think we leave with the shenanigans, man. We get to the Ole Miss game.
Let's get to the shenanigans. So, so obviously a big part of the weekend was dealing with the potential blow up and then fallout of a series of nondescript tweets that I think took legs of their own. I would like to apologize for not maybe putting some guardrails.
Can I set the stage? Can I set the stage a little bit here?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
You're a good independent party.
Yeah. Let me just set the stage for real quick, you know, and we'll get into, like, we'll let you break down the nuances of everything. So Friday, I'm just chilling. I'm having a great, magnificent day, just, you know, down in Miami. The weather's beautiful in Florida right now. In November, probably the best month of the year for me, you know, weather-wise in Florida. You know, everything's just kicking. The breeze is perfect. Had been unplugged from the Twitter all day, all the internet shenanigans. I opened my phone. Before I got to Twitter, I got like 10 texts. I'm like, hey, man. Like, what's going on? Like, is this thing about to go down Sunday? I was like, well, what are they talking about? I go on Twitter, open up. I got a million notifications. Dan got the streets on fire. He's going triple platinum with the tweet. But Dan's kind of laid out on, you know, some expectations for Sunday and whatnot. And I got it in the group chat. And I just said, what the hell has Dan done? You know, like, what is going on? He got the streets on fire. And Dan kind of laid it out in the group chat. And also a message board that if it don't go down, I'm cooked. Pretty much. He knew what time it was a little bit. But you can lay out, you know, a little bit more information on the tweet, the information you receive, et cetera. But from our group chat and Stadium and Gale perspective, we all were like, yeah, this could either be really good or it could get, you know, turn into Gator Twitter real quick.
It did. And there was a lot of personal attacks and a lot of people attacked my character and everything else. But, you know, beyond that, you know, first things first, we don't make the news, right? We don't make the hire. We try to report what we know. And so on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it was well sourced to me a couple of things that Florida really likes their chances with Lane Kiffin, but also, and more importantly, that Ole Miss is putting a deadline on a decision that Lane Kiffin has to make. Now, I don't know what that actually means, right? Like, you can say, hey, we have to know by the Egg Bowl, but then what? Are you going to fire him? Like, you're not going to do that. So I don't know exactly what the deadline is, but I had heard from two different very well-connected people that Ole Miss was going to put on a deadline. And where I am slightly incorrect was that I was told that it was by the end of this week. And then Stuart Mandel from The Atlantic is saying before the Egg Bowl. I still maintain that that was part of the news about Ole Miss needing a deadline and where Florida sat and being able to be put out by other news sources that Florida and Lane Kiffin were actively negotiating. Now you can say, well, no shit, Dan, like we knew that. There's a difference between message board rumors and this making it into the public ethos. And so it was my expectation that both of those things were going to come out on Sunday. It was never that Lane Kiffin was going to get hired on Sunday. I could have and framed that better to say that that wasn't going to happen. Also, I heard that James Franklin was going to sign with Virginia Tech on Sunday. So obviously that happened today. I guess the agreement actually went into place on Saturday night. And so those are some of the dominoes that I expected to fall. So Obviously, that didn't come out on Sunday. And Jordan, we had to catch Jordan up before the show because he's like, I don't know what is going on. Because he's not on Twitter. And so now all of this information has come out today. There is a few other things that have also come out, including maybe Layla Kiffin and her family or in the family being in Gainesville yesterday. I know that there's a rumor that Dan Mullen's old house went under contract today. I know nothing about that. I don't know if they're going to go visit a house once and then go put a contract in before before everything is signed. So that could just be noise. I don't know. There's also rumors that, Lane Kiffin's family was in Baton Rouge today. This is also the Lane Kiffin experience. He's had every opportunity over the last 5 weeks. And I maintain, and I'll tell you guys right now, that there's been an opportunity for an extension for Lane for the better part of a month now that he hasn't signed. And he is now jockeying, and he's going to make two fan bases absolutely hate him. And the third fan base really excited. And then I think very nervous that they're the next one that something like this is going to happen to. So, but more than happy to answer any questions. I will take it on the chin. I am an adult. I understand that people might have felt disappointed. People felt like I lied to them or that I don't know. And I have tried to be as transparent.
People need lives, man. To be honest with you.
Yeah. I've tried to be as transparent as I can with what I know. I am also not a journalist. I understand that that comes with different responsibilities. But I am trying to share with you what I know. So that's where we're at right now. I appreciate Corey for having my back today. And I guess I have the tweets to the boys about what the news was from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, believe me, there's one guy that's like, I don't believe you, but like, yeah.
Here's my thing, right? Which I think you were on point with, a lot of things. Like, you never say a hire was going down. Like, anybody with a brain know that a hire wasn't going down on Sunday, no matter how it shook out. It was just going to be some momentum and some, things that got reported, et cetera. Like today, a day late, and, things change, things are fluid. Anybody with a human, normal brain knows that things are always fluid. As somebody that has put some news out there and things change, or put some information out there and things change, it just happens. It don't mean that you don't have sources. It don't mean that you're not connected. It don't mean any of that. It just means the information may have changed. All of the personal attacks, I think, is just trash. Just straight up trash. If somebody's, what we do on this show is inform and entertain. We all have the best intentions for the University of Florida. And we also want to, inform our listeners on what we're hearing. And that's safe, that we're told it's okay to report on that. It's okay to leak out is what we give to the streets. None of this stuff is detrimental to the hiring of Lane Kiffin, et cetera. None of that's going to stop a guy with an ego like Lane has from accepting the job or going to a different stop. Like, none of that affects anything. But I think it's just low level and it's just trash, and it speaks to like people's lives, to be honest with you. If somebody puts something out there, the information changed. People's talking about Dan's personal life, how he buys seats to a concert. You're a loser. And you need to level up your life a little bit. If you're watching what the shirts he wear, things he brag about, you are a better male and you are a loser. None of this information about college football is that important for you to go on rants about another man's life. If a man sits around, watches another man post about his life on Twitter, on social media, and then waits for an opportunity for that man to maybe have some type of slip up, and then him get out all his info, all his feelings about this man's life and what he's posting on social media, you are a chump and a coward to join in on a crowd of other men that's talking about college football information. We're talking about college football information. I'm gonna stand in the pain for my friends, man, and I think it's all cowardly, for everybody to start getting there. And there's people that I thought was friends of this platform. It was people that I thought that was down and rock with us that start getting off opinions about, this guy and his lifestyle. Up your lifestyle, bro. Don't get jealous of another man bragging about concert tickets that he got. go make moves to be able to get yourself some better concert tickets, bro. And then post about it. But being a sucker, better male to complain about how another man lives over college football information, you're weak. And that's my rant. And we can conclude it and move on, but it's weak.
Let me know who those people were offline. No need to give them publicity on a platform that's probably bigger than theirs.
It's sad and disappointing because it was people that I thought I was friends with in real life, friends, internet friends, right? People that I've gone to tailgates with, people that we've gone out after tailgates and truly thought that there was maybe not a real life friendship, but like an acquaintanceship. That didn't tag, didn't say anything, didn't just got the jokes off. And I get it. Like, I will take it that I was early and that you guys don't have to believe me. But I also just don't understand why sharing this information caused such a detriment to your life where you felt like you had to put me down for trying to share something that, like, everybody's jonesing for, like, everybody's foaming at the mouth for anything. And you try and, like, you learn a valuable lesson. And I certainly learned a valuable lesson about that information and shoring up timelines and maybe not being cryptic or being a little bit more specific about things or trying to get ahead of something. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, the personal stuff was really the only thing that bothered me. It's not the avatar tweets. It's not the, you know, the random FSU fan or Miami fan or Ole Miss fan. Like, that stuff doesn't bother me. It was the people that I've broken bread with in real life that felt like this was a great opportunity. And, like, it's humbling. It's like, it's an emotional feeling to get dragged, not by random internets on the stranger, but by people that you thought were in your corner only to find out that they were never in your corner, you know?
I just think that's weak. If I got an opinion about a man, I'm going to let him know, you know, when I have that opinion. I don't need a group of people to start clowning, you know, jump. And I've been in that same seat before, you know, when you think somebody's cool with you. And then the moment, you know, they could join in on the bashing you, they just hop in. You're like, whoa, I thought we was cool, brother. You know what I'm saying? That's to me, is just, I'm going to keep standing on. I think it's cowardly, bro. It's just, it's college football information. It's just not that deep, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I appreciate, I know there are a lot of people that wanted to hear what we have to say. You know, where Florida finds itself with Lane Kiffin is, like, very publicly out there. They are very much in negotiation. LSU is very much in negotiation. Ole Miss is very much in negotiation. This is about as public of a situation is that you're going to ever find in a coaching search. And like I said, two fan bases are going to feel, I think, hatred. And then the third is going to have, like, they're going to have a smile, but they're going to be,
I've been saying this the entire times, like, he's trolling somebody. And now we know he's definitely trolling Ole Miss. I don't think he stays there. I think that the writing's on the wall for them. Mm-hmm. But, I still feel good about where we at. Like, Lane could absolutely do whatever. Like, it could turn into real chaos, but I feel good where we at. I think the timeline of what you spoke on was pretty on point, you know, a day late, you know, and it's not even late. You know, it's kind of folding out as far as what we know, like what the things you told us, it's all playing out. I'm not going to ever question, you know, your credibility or anything like that. But I just knew that, like, when things can go wrong, they will go wrong, bro. Sure. So to go from being the hero, everybody's giving you love about, you know, breaking information is just a couple weeks ago. Like, you break the Napier thing, he's getting fired regardless, which went down. We won. They still fired him. And you get flowers.
On the president, too.
Correct.
Yeah. People didn't even know what the damn president, what the name was. Dan threw a name out there. People were like, who the hell is that? He's like, it's going to be your next president.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
I've been saying all fall, Dan. Who's Dan's talking to? But Dan's breaking.
He's in his bag, bro. You just got to give flowers where it's at. And so, you know, we're not gonna, like, Stadium and Gale, we're gonna stand on business. We're gonna continue to do what we do. If we get information that's safe enough for us to share it with our listeners, we're gonna do that. And we're gonna see how everything unfolds with Lane. But I think we're in a good position. You know, they just beat us, and we'll talk about that game in a little bit. They beat us. A day later, or a couple of days later, that tweet that was
Bro, I don't know where or what the file looks like with you with the folder that you have with just random memes, GIFs, and videos.
Yeah, iCloud has definitely got me in
a look at a tweet. And it's just like a dude in a Batman suit sitting alone in a parking lot in a torrential downpour.
That's what it is like. You go from being a hero to being a loser quick.
Oh, yeah. My God. What a day. So I think Florida feels very confident still with Lane Kiffin. Nick's nodding his head along. For those of you listening on the podcast platform, Florida feels very confident. What that means, Florida's moving in silence. This has been very, very quiet. Getting information out of anybody is very hard. So Florida feels very confident. They feel like they've had some great conversations over the last couple of days, including one today, where they feel like they're ironing out some of the details that may be sticking points. But Florida feels confident. But with anything, like, things can change, emotions can change, people can change. So I want to put an asterisk next to that. But Florida feels very confident today, and that's as of 2 hours ago.
No doubt.
That was the last time I had the conversation. So if you're like, well, what happened in the last 2 hours? Like, nothing. That's just what happened at 5:17 or whatever. So that's where we're at. Anybody else?
I think Ole Miss is absolutely crazy by like telling him you got to decide, or you know, by such like a deadline. Like, come on, like, who are you kidding? There is no deadline, man.
From my view, like,
you don't quit, I fired you.
From my view, they're just in like a crazy spot. This is their best team since integration. Mm-hmm. They won a national championship in 1960. This is their best team since integration in college football. And you're going to – the last month, you've been hearing about how everyone's taking the coach who has given you this team. The timelines – and the colleges have done this to themselves. The colleges and the TV money has done this to themselves. If Lane is still your coach and hasn't committed to you until for next year, you're going to go into the Egg Bowl, your Super Bowl, because that's the biggest thing in Mississippi. You're going to go into a playoff game, which, by the way, right after that first round, win or lose, the portal opens. And if I'm LSU, I need an answer. I need to know if I need to be searching for somebody. I need to know if you're going to be here, because we can't have a coach leave us while the portal's open. Like, we can't have that. So I get what LSU's doing, but also, like, if I'm the coach,
Ole Miss is doing.
Ole Miss is doing. But if I'm the coach, I'm like, cool, dog, fire me. Pay me that buyout.
Yeah.
And then I'll go become the highest paid coach while you continue sending checks biweekly. Like, sure, do whatever you want. But, like, I get what Ole Miss has to do. Ole Miss has to try to figure out their future, because you can't go into – I mean, I don't think they're in the SEC championship game right now, but you can't go into that. And you'll have 3 weeks after the Egg Bowl, 3 weeks, a month more of this if you don't have a commitment from Lane or commitment of your future one way or the other.
Lane's toxic, and if it goes down like this and they push him out the door, it just helps me, my portal, my early signing day, all of that shenanigans. So if it's us, I appreciate him being toxic. I'm probably hate it later when he's toxic to us, you know what I'm saying? But for right now, I'm with all the shenanigans, bro. Get that man into Gainesville, start, you know, recruiting, getting your staff together, all of that, bro. Push him out. And this is crazy times to be able to poach a playoff coach. Like, this is craziness.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've seen it happen.
Correct.
How do y'all feel about it? Y'all feel like this is something that should continue to go on, and y'all feel like they should put some rules in place to kind of change this whole.
The problem is like, until like they drop the school thing, like you just that's the big thing, right? Like, you have semesters, you have school, right? So you can't change the calendar that much. Like, ideally you would be like, well, let's just do everything after the season. Well, you have early enrollees trying to enroll in school in January, you have transfer students trying to get in before drop ad, and that's your biggest thing. And that's why it's so different than like the NFL, that you can just but fired still, later on.
But still, I think even with the players, they got parameters on when they could hit into the portal, right? And when they could, you know, say that. I think they got to create some type of guardrails for coaches in this saying, because this is new. So, like, the NCAA never had to cross this bridge before. I think now that they're getting to this, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure most of these schools are going to be reaching out to the NCAA or getting together, because the NCAA just work for the schools. So they're going to reach out to try to put something together to protect themselves from situations like this. They got to, bro. This is crazy. I like it for us, but this is absolutely crazy for Ole Miss.
This is just a wild scenario that we've never seen play out, and now it's being played out very publicly with three very public schools. You have Florida, LSU, which anybody would tell you that are top 10 jobs in the country, and then Ole Miss, who is on the verge and very likely going to go 11-1, have a great spot for the playoffs, and their coach is non-committal, very much tweeting like a 16-year-old girl, evaluating the guy from summer camp or the guy back at school, right? Like, which one do I go to?
That's crazy.
You know? But wow. Is it wrong? Like you've had every opportunity to kind of get ahead of the narrative. And I know the answer that he's given is like, we don't talk about this during the season. It's like, my brother in Christ, like, you just have a very limited amount of time. Because Florida has to go in with a coach. LSU has to figure out their coaching situation. Ole Miss has to figure out their coaching situation. But if he's my coach, take the toxicity.
Yeah, I'm with you on some of that. So I think the way he's tweeting and all of that stuff, I have takes on that. I think it's very unprofessional, immature. I'm just gonna be real. Do I want him as my coach? Yes. You can have multiple opinions and different perspectives on anything in life. Like, just because you like a guy don't mean you gotta like just cape for him and just say wild things and just ignore flags. There are clearly flags there, bro. I don't see the comparison in that world of Steve Spurrier would do the same if he had Twitter in his time. No, Steve Spurrier was the ultimate professional. Is he going to talk trash about, you know, other rivals and teams that we face? Yeah, he's going to talk greasy. He's going to troll in that fashion, but he's not going to troll the actual school he's working at. So I think it's wild, but this is who Lane has been. I never questioned Lane as a play caller or as a coach. I've always questioned his professionalism and how he's handled, you know, that part of the job, being a leader of young men. Like, I can't imagine what Ole Miss and that team, that those players in that locker room are thinking right now. You know, like, and that could potentially be us, you know, on a playoff run. Some NFL teams interested in Lane. You feel me? Like, what's the difference between now and when he left Tennessee and when he left other stops, right? I don't think there's a big difference. I don't think there's a lot of maturity in that facet. And I still want him to be my head coach, because the coaching pool right now is absolute trash. So that's where I'm at with it. If we get him, cool. If we don't, then go find me a coach and we'll talk about it on Stadium Miguel.
Right. Yeah. We don't make the hiring decision. I know that there's a lot of people think that we influence it or that we're making the hire. We are not in the room. I'm not in the room. We are not in Florida. We'll have a head coach next year. I do think Florida is putting all of their eggs very publicly in one basket. I think that the one big wild card that everybody's missing, and I think the chat has kind of talked about it, Jimmy Sexton is a master at this. And information gets leaked. Information gets out there publicly for a variety of reasons. And usually it's not to create anything more than a shitstorm to cause panic and emotional decision-making, and usually more, you know, seven-digit numbers that end up on the end of that contract. Because Mr. Sexton, of course, makes money on every additional dollar that goes up on that contract.
Shout out to Sexton. Sexton, not Sexton. Shout out to both, you know, like, if that's your world, man.
Oh, my God. All right, let's get into some super chats. We've got almost 6,000 people watching, so we appreciate you guys.
Oh, we
share
live.
It, like it. Dawson Jackson, new member, appreciate you. Michael Sims, new member, appreciate you. All right. This
the Streets Cooking earlier. Dan brought more people, man. Shout out to the Streets for Cooking Dan, bro. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I was enjoying you getting cooked for a little minute there because you was feeling yourself, bro. You was walking around with your chest out a little bit.
I want you got you know, every bro. Everybody has a great plan and until they get punched in the face. I think it's what Mike Tyson said.
No doubt, bro.
6'5" King Dan, don't apologize for shit.
Shout out to
Nick Fun. Where's your confidence level now with LSU? You know, I think it's the same. You know,
same. Again,
that's where we're at. Dan needs his flowers and an apology been plugged.
Another thing too, like we're not like I even you know provide some friction to when Dan brings the most positive news and the most confidence to our group chat, and I just remind everybody, even in the group chat, it was like, hey. We are getting this information from very positive and pro-Gator people. Let's keep mm-hmm. that in mind, right? So we provide resistance to each other, but it's been consistent. And as Dan is telling us things, as he leaves the show real quick, as he's telling us things, it's playing out. Like, the information is on point. And you guys don't get every single nugget that we get in the group chat, but things are playing out, like, to the T of what he's saying. So I get information as well from the agent side of things. I'm not sharing anything with you guys because I know the risk versus reward isn't much, right? If it's right, then everybody, yeah, go Silk, go Corey. If it's wrong, y'all ready to lynch me, for the lack of a better word. but nonetheless, we're not in the group chat and we're not just backing Dan on any and everything he says,
right? Man,
but the information is definitely on point.
Thank you. CD's 8 bits. If not Kiffin, who we've talked a lot about the names.
What a name.
I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll sign up.
Nick will do it. I think Lincoln Riley's a name that I said hasn't been vetted. I think Lincoln Riley has now been vetted. I think that's an appropriate time to drop that comment.
Yeah,
the Forbes chips are very publicly in on lane. The lane train,
lane or bus. I'm and we're not wearing a condom.
I don't know what
it's what lane or bus, that? And we're not wearing a condom, Jordan.
Yeah,
we're going raw. Yeah. We are going raw, man. It's playing out, bro. We'll see how it all plays out.
On this one, Florida reporter's too damn thirsty. Edgar shows up to Kiffin's post-press conference meeting. It comes off as desperate. Buddy, you don't care. Edgar. You don't care what Billy Gonzalez says after Florida loses to Ole Miss. Why would a reporter go there and not smart. Go to the only coach you've been talking about for 2 months? Like, what are you talking yeah. about?
Edgar's going to get clicks, reading, baby. Edgar's smart. He's the smartest guy in the room.
Nobody was reading Billy Gonzalez quotes after losing to Ole Miss. Why would the reporter go to and talk to somebody you're not going to read about?
Hey, Edgar, I wasn't familiar with your game, man. I like it, brother.
Shout out to Edgar.
For sure.
Thompson's holding it down. Unrelated. We are unrelated.
The Thompson just had a weekend, man.
Oh, man. Gators breakdown. Gator Dave, you're here. I saw Shelton was here earlier.
What's up? What's up, gang? It's all gang, man. Gator Media, we all gang, man. It's all love, bro. Shout out to Dave.
Yeah. I think to answer your question, there are a number of other candidates. I think seeing James Franklin take that Virginia Tech job, James Franklin was, and I don't want to use the word desperate. That's not the right word, but I'm struggling to figure out another word. He very much wanted the Florida job. I think he wanted the Florida State job, wanted the LSU job. He wants that big SEC job. He didn't get it. And so discussion. I mean, I don't know if that means anything other than, I mean, if Florida's willing to keep him on the back burner. He was never really a real serious candidate, but I do know that he was a candidate.
I'm glad that Lane Kiffin didn't end up at Florida State. I think that would have been not a good thing for us. Like, recruiting wise, facing him and Mario on the trail is just not an ideal thing, bro. Both of those guys are going to be stout recruiters. You feel me? So I'm glad that he's going to Virginia Tech. He could beat my ops in Miami and Florida State annually. And I just think we're still on, to me, this is not like any take or any information from a booster admin, anything like that. But, you know, as desperate or as bad as James Franklin wanted one of these jobs, for him to move on, he's got to know, and I think he's a Texans client as well, that the Florida job is a thing that's foregone, you know, and wheels are in motion for things to kind of happen a little bit here. And that's just my opinion and take on things, man. You'll see more dominoes start to fall. I'm interested to see who re-ups now, like who get extensions, who get bigger deals. I know we are interested in my guy over at Georgia Tech. Name slipping my head right now. It's been a day. Brent Key, it's been a day, man. Been out here just defending Dan all day, bro. Like,
yeah, I appreciate you, brother.
No, it's all good, man. I love it. Like, don't talk crazy about my people, bro. Anywho, I think the wheels are in motion for good news. I think LSU is just Sexton doing what he's doing as an agent. Everybody should take visits, you know, and, you know, do your knock off all cross all your T's, dot all your I's. But I think we're in a good space. I love that I'm hearing that Spurrier is involved in some of this. LSU has one legendary coach in on their roster, and that's the GOAT, Nick Saban, right? And he's not even known for being an LSU coach. He's known for being Bama's coach. So if you want to be legendary, you might want to come to the Swamp. And I think the Swamp is going to get their next legendary coach, at least with the opportunity to be legendary, I would say.
Yeah.
Don't be all scared now, Dan. Talk greasy. You've been confident this whole time. The streets got you scared a little bit. I can tell.
I think because there was a tweet that I had that I called Lane Kiffin a fraud after losing to LSU last year.
I've called him all type losing of stuff.
To Florida next year. So that got screenshotted. Like, listen, I don't think that Lane Kiffin's a perfect candidate. I don't think that. I think that he's a good coach, and I think that there's some maturity that he's shown. There's some immaturity still. Do I think that he's the perfect coach? No.
No such thing.
Had I had somewhere maybe between 3 to 7 beers at that point too? Maybe. Was I talking greasy because Florida beat a top 10 team, kicked him out of the playoffs? Maybe. Who knows? But you know, it's been deleted. It's been deleted. I'm a coward. All right. I don't think LSU will hate him, only Ole Miss. Maybe. I think LSU fans right now think that Lane Kiffin is coming, to their program, and their message boards right now are already printing up Lane Kiffin shirts. Why do we have the early signing period anyway?
Because kids enroll early.
Yeah.
This is easy math. Kids enroll in like January, so they need a time period to sign, you know, before they get here on campus. We can't just kidnap them.
They ain't come here to play school. Shout out to Cardell.
I believe the LSU noise is a smokescreen by Sexton. Could be, could not be. We'll see. Just don't get too emotionally tied to one story, one source. A lot of this stuff that appears public, like I said earlier, is public for a reason that it's not for you to know. It is some sort of jostling match or dick swinging contest between, hey, this is what, this is where we're at now. Like, what are you going to do to pull us back over? Right.
That's a competition I'm not showing up to, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Group
you win, bro. You win. If that's hey, Corey, you want to come to a dick swinging contest? Nah, bro. You win. You're champ.
Let's see candidates now. Besides Lane, now that Franklin's been hired, I think we kind of talked about it's the same kind of group of people. I think that there's some NFL people that Florida's looking at as well. And so I just did the. You don't want to get there right now if you're Florida. Not that the options are bad or that you're assured that like somebody is going to be successful. Like there's a chance that Lane Kiffin, if he gets hired, is like not successful at Florida. And I think that that's a reality that we also need to accept, and that the emotional tweeting or like, hey, maybe I'm just going to go to the NFL. Like that comes with it. So just, you know, maybe plan B isn't bad. Plan B's helped a lot of people in life.
I don't know. You gotta start like just laying out who the Plan B is. Plan B worked out for me a couple times. Whoa, let me stop.
Yeah.
Wrong show. wrong show, man. This is This is a family show, Troop.
This season. Is a family
back, show. Back to the family show, man.
All right. Much love, Dan and Corey. Appreciate you rolling with Carlos. Keep them. Y'all keep coming from Dan. I'm pulling up like silk. Michael Sims, appreciate you. We are don't not do that, Michael. Fight. We don't want to fight. It's not worth it.
Don't do that, man.
$2 for the Just for Men fund for Corey and Nick. I think you need to add me into that. Jordan's the only one here not rocking any grays.
I earn these grays, bro. I'm rocking. Don't give me no Beijing. I don't want to color nothing. That's wisdom you see right there, bro. I want y'all to know, man. Like I'm one year away from being on the Uncle Ben's box. We gotta get a black man back on that box, and I'm almost, you know, ready. They need another spokesperson, Uncle Silk Rice.
This is
for sure
potentially the third 4-8 season that I've covered at Florida since I was here. Since I got here,
that's why you're gray. I feel you.
I'm gonna blame Florida.
Yeah,
the streets are saying that you're unplugged emotion wise, man. Like you're not plugged in. Yeah, that's what the streets were saying in our comments today.
That I'm unplugged.
Yeah. They say you're stat boy now.
Stat boy? I don't even know what that means.
That's what they just say. You just reel out the stats.
Yep.
You're corporate, bro. Like it's okay to be corporate, Like shit, you damn near on the staff, brother. Like I get it, man. It's not that big of a deal.
Whole different job now.
It's a different lane. No pun intended. Yes.
Yeah. I enjoy this lane more.
That's true.
Yeah. If you would have got this job like a few years ago, you'd have a few more black hairs in that beard.
Probably not.
Oh my god. All right. Go ahead, Nick.
One second. Someone asked about Lincoln. Why would he want to leave SC? I think you signed up and went to the Pac-12 at USC where you had to worry about Oregon and maybe Washington every once in a while. And now all of a sudden,
he got fired.
Now all of a sudden, no, he left Oklahoma and went to.
Lincoln. I'm thinking Lane. Lincoln, my bad. Lincoln. Sorry, okay, Lincoln. Gotcha.
Now you're flying to Newark, New Jersey to play Rutgers at noon, which is 9 a.m. local time. And you're going up against Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and you still have Oregon and Washington. Small private school, doesn't have a ton, I don't know of, doesn't have a ton for NIL. He's still recruiting his ass off. Great recruiting class right now, but
sure.
The job is certainly not what he initially signed up for.
Yeah. You're keeping the Lincoln Riley hive alive, Nick.
Listen, buddy, the next time he has a good defense will be the first time he has a good defense. And I want you guys to know, I already see how angry you are tweeting about a 49-52 loss. I can already read the tweets 3 years from now. But, like, the offense will be fun. He's never had a defense, no matter where he's been.
You just got to get Will Muschamp, man. DJ Durkin. Be all right. The streets are saying you're wearing Billy Napier's old clothes.
This it shirt. Is. No, this is it's a Florida Victorious. Florida Victorious. Got a little logo on there.
Okay. Hey, Billy, if you're listening, I don't know if you're still tuned in to Steady Miguel, but I will accept all your black Florida gear for sure. What do you guys think about Billy at Georgia? Let's talk about that real quick. Enough of Lane Kiffin. Billy, pull up to Georgia. What y'all think, man? Let's get messy. I like mess.
I think he grew up, knew Kirby when he was growing up. Their dads knew each other because they both coached ball in Georgia. I think he knows Bobo since he was a kid. And I think he went to go see his friends. Probably Kirby probably asked him about Texas.
Probably your friends that punched on you is crazy though. Like they ain't really like that bullied you for your recruits, that beat on you. I got a question, Billy, and he's gone, so it really don't matter. But his competitiveness, bro, I cannot show up to a guy that just beat the snot out of me for the last 4 or 5 years. Just can't, even if we're friends. A
couple weeks later.
Yeah, I
can't do it. Shout out to Billy anyway.
No more shout outs to Billy. We did get a super chat. I think this will lead us right into the Ole Miss game here. Sorry if I missed this already, but when Lane comes, do you want him to bring Trinidad Shameless, the quarterback that they have. Well, let's get into that. We've got 8,000 people watching, so this is pretty cool. Shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Use promo code Stadium and Gale, get you 20% off of your order. Whether you're a Florida fan, an Ole Miss fan, an LSU fan, a Miami fan, trying to hate watch, or a FSU fan hate watching, or just a hater hate watching, whatever it is, use the promo code, save yourself some money. It's the holiday season. Time to go get a shirt for you and your school. Over 100 different schools that are out there and the Indianapolis Colts. So go check them out, homefieldapparel.com, Stadium and Gale at checkout. 20% off of your order, free shipping per email. So I'm not telling you to create another email, just letting you know that if you've used it once on one email, that that's the only time that you can use. So again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word.
Trinidad Chambliss is a fifth-year senior.
Even if he wasn't, like, I just wanted a coach that could coach up Chambliss, right? I just want Lane. I like what I'm seeing out of DJ as far as like arm talent and a lot of other things. He got to clean up some of his footwork and decision making, but that's why we're after a guy like Lane. That's why we're not wearing a condom. So
I knew Billy was a plant from Georgia. Appreciate the super chat, Brian. And then Benji Gator. Dan, do you know anything about Joe Klatt's reporting that UF has more strings attached to Kiffin, whereas LSU and Ole Miss is a blank check? I don't know enough to give you an answer, but I think that the idea of a blank check is also like a misaligned phrase on what that means. But I will try to report back. And if I know anything for certain, I'll let you know. If I don't, then I'll just share.
Nobody has a blank check in any sport.
But there's no such thing as a blank check as a football coach, especially with the way things are going. Florida has certain things that they want and expectations that they want and control and department structures that are set up. I do think that Florida is making everything competitive and giving as much as they can.
A blank check. Nobody has a blank check. Nick Saban never had a blank check. Like this money got to be accounted for. It's got to be structured. We'll see how it all plays out. Like, shout out to Clack, everybody. Everybody's getting information. Everybody has, you know, nuggets to drop. The timeline, how things are playing out, I just like where we sit at it. That don't mean we absolutely going to get Lane Kiffin, but we all feel good about where we at. News and information to continue to drop. Back to like the quarterback thing. No, I think Lane's gonna eventually come in. We gotta talk about our game here a little bit.
Yeah,
but Lane's gonna come in. He's gonna look at our quarterback depth chart. He's gonna look at our quarterback recruiting class, and he's gonna have to make some hard decisions on that entire room. So I wouldn't get absolutely married to anything that's going on quarterback wise. I think, you know, changes are gonna be made. Watching what he did at Ole Miss, he got aggressive with bringing in guys to compete. Bringing in multiple guys in the transfer portal, like the way he views the quarterback room isn't in the normal, approach to the entire thing. So just let it all play out. I like our quarterback room, but it could shift and move fairly quick. Guys in it and also the guys that committed to it.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to the game then. Florida loses at 34-24, up 24-20 at halftime in what was DJ Lagway's probably best first half that he's had in SEC play, at least since maybe the Kentucky game last year. Ole Miss holding Florida to just 103 yards of offense in the second half. Gators have the ball multiple times under a score left to go or under a touchdown left to go, and just struggled to move the ball in the second half. I don't know, you know, what else to say there. Kewon Lacy from Ole Miss, their running back, goes for 224 yards on 31 carries, three touchdowns. It also set the single season record for Ole Miss. DJ Lagway, couple great passes. Great pass to J. Michael Sturtevant for a 57-yard touchdown pass. The defense looked pretty good at times. You get an interception from Jaden Woods. Trinidad Chambliss gets sacked a few times in this game. He hadn't been sacked much this season, and he had only thrown two interceptions. So to be able to do both and then still be on the losing side is tough. So Ole Miss moves to 8-0 at home, positioning themselves for a playoff opportunity, and then Florida is officially now eliminated from the bowl. So let's break down the game and kind of what your thoughts were, guys.
Great drone show.
Go ahead.
Great drone show in Oxford. I don't know that any of us, Corey, I think you had connection issues. I had connection issues too, but I don't think any of us thought it'd be competitive when we talked on Friday. Yeah. So was pleasantly surprised that we had a good game, especially coming off of what it looked like Kentucky. I think it just shows that like the talent is there on the roster. If you can retain it, that Florida's a place you can come in and win next year, which I think is big if you're trying to show a coach, whether that was the coach on the other sideline or a coach watching from home. I think that's important. Overall, I thought Miles Graham had a great game. Really cool to see TJ Abrams kind of make the most of his opportunity. He was kind of buried behind a slew of different receivers. Got the call this week, and I think he had the best game of his career. And defensively too, Jaden Woods.
What a hooper.
Jordan will remember this name. First true freshman to have a fumble recovery and an interception in the same season since
Boshan.
No. Marcus Roberson.
Wow. Marcus Roberson. Shout
out to Marcus. Stanley McGale alumni.
So a couple good things. Like ultimately, like someone when I was down the field, one of the students asked me, like, is this like a moral victory? I'm like, no, there's no moral victory. It's like you lost the game, but like it's a lost season. Right? Yeah. You're 3-7. It is what it is. We've spent nearly as long without a head coach as you have with a head coach this year. It's just kind of where we are.
What's Billy Gonzalez writing down all the time? Jordan, you've been a coach. He's writing. Man, he's writing novels.
Hey,
he's journaling.
Off plays maybe that they already ran or checked it or what, but I felt the same way. I'm watching them like he always has the pen open and on his little printout. Like,
he's journaling, man. Do you journal?
That has to be the call sheet. Yeah. Okay, I get that. But what are you doing all this writing for? You ain't calling no plays.
He's writing his autobiography.
Mike, I thought the same thing though, Dan. When I kept seeing him putting the camera on him, he has the marker out, he's putting it back in. I'm like, what is this dude writing down? Like, you ain't doing no rep counts. You the head coach over there. You shouldn't be writing down nothing.
It was not mean-spirited at all, but not every time, but probably 50% of the time, he was writing something, and not just like a tick mark. It looked like he was.
I'm like, well, I don't know what he got going on. Maybe he's just trying to look busy, you know.
Somebody say he's doing crossword puzzles, man. Yeah,
writing down the Mortal Kombat fatality codes, a crossword puzzle, Dear Diary.
I'm not the only one that caught that, but yeah, man, I feel like overall they surprised me. I felt like Nick mentioned, nobody expected that game to be competitive. Based upon our last road game that we had versus a worst opponent. And I think that kind of, like Nick said, shows the depth that we have on this roster. Like, we're down so many receivers, so many guys out hurt, and we're still managing to come and rise to the occasion and be able to compete with the potential playoff championship team, if you want to call it so what. But I see a lot of good stuff in that, man. I feel like Lagway is slowly improving, but you can only see so much, I feel like, with the system that he's in. I feel like I saw a lot of 12 again. I see a lot of tight ends on the field. I kind of felt like we kind of reverted back to that because versus Kentucky, it wasn't working. Obviously, with some depth at receiver is probably another issue to why we ran more tight ends. But I would love to see some Nashawn Montgomery. You know, I felt like we still have enough depth at receiver to kind of get the guys going. We're at this point of the season. Who cares? Like, you're fighting to go into the first bowl game that's going to kick off in December. Good luck. I mean, I'd rather see what my young puppies look like and get all the young guys in and get them some real SEC reps, not versus a cupcake team. So Obviously, I think Billy Gonzalez is trying to make the right decisions to make himself look good for his future. So he's honestly going to just play all the older guys and the best guys at hand. But I would have loved to see some young guys go in there and get some burn and get some play early in the game. And yeah, I'm not a big fan of the tight end. So offensively, I wasn't a fan of our play calling and our personnel throughout the game majority, but it's just a bet that Billy Napier made for us, and we all just have to lay in it because
it's been a twin size bed. Yeah. It's an air mattress.
Yeah. No box spring.
No box spring whatsoever. You might be laying on the box spring. I'm with you, bro. Like, first half show, you know, like I like to see the fight. So these guys, like we were talking last week about if they quit, right? And they showed a little quit, you know, I think in the game versus Kentucky. But those guys, I think Billy did a good job having them up for the assignment, at least in the first half. You know, I think DJ hit some good throws. The offense was, you know, making things happen and capitalizing on the mistakes that Ole Miss gave us. When the defense came up with some stops and some turnovers, they made some things happen. I'm exhausted of the tight end sets as well. You know, some just key drops. They're running in ankleways and mud boots. They're running in Timberlands. They're running, you know, in shackles. It's a lot of things that's happening, but they're just not getting open. And I like our freshman receivers. I think Muiz and I think Nashawn Montgomery are going to go on to be really good college receivers when it's all said and done. I think very highly of both of those guys. So I would like to see them get more reps and whatnot. Defense came to play football.
Yep.
Miles Graham is just an absolute stud. He deserves, you know, like the finer things in life. He deserves all the spoils and riches that kings get. He's just a dog. So I'm in love with five, you know, on the football field. Shout out to Bet getting some sacks and making some things happen. We're so far deep with our defensive tackles, so many injuries, and, you know, we're so far down the depth chart, and guys are still making plays, man. So do want to see some changes in that safety room. I don't care where we at in the season. Just give other guys opportunities. If plays aren't being made at safety, I don't like care if a guy's, you know, senior, super senior, junior, et cetera. Put some other guys on the field. I love when I seen 43 on the field. I think he's a dog. I think he should be starting on some type of football team. He's not a walk-on caliber kid. He originally was at another school on a scholarship, was a top 20, 30 safety in the country when he came out. And he shows that. I think he comes downhill with different type of intentions. He's an absolute beast running the alley with no ski mask. He ready to lay people down and take all their lunch money, you know, and share it amongst the crew. Like, that's what he on, bro. I would like to see Stubbs. Lagonza came in and made some plays, you know, and from what I heard, because I still haven't watched the game. I listened to it on the radio like it's 1968 because YouTube snatched it down. And I was out with the fam and whatnot, hanging out. But, yeah, just not a bad game. I think it's going to be entertaining on the way out. I don't expect a whole lot of wins. You know, I'm a realist with where we at as a program. But I like that they just haven't quit. They're still fighting. Because I thought the Kentucky game, they were going to fold. I thought Ole Miss could come in and blow us out. And we came in, and Lane Kiffin had to figure things out on four downs a lot of times. So shout out to that, man.
Lane looked like he started to call plays. Seemed a lot more animated, and I know he's always been very involved, so I'm not saying that he hasn't been, but he looked a lot more involved in what the offensive script looked like in the second half, and that could just be me not totally knowing, and I know Charlie Weiss has the ability to call plays, Charlie Weiss Jr. does over there, but it seemed like he was a lot more involved in the second half of calling some of those plays, but I could be wrong.
I wouldn't be mad if he left Charlie Weiss in Louisiana. I say that. If he brought him, cool, but I wouldn't be mad if he did left him.
Or Mississippi.
What did I say?
You said Louisiana.
He's leaving there too. Yeah.
let's run down some of these stats. DJ Lagway, 16 for 32, 218 yards, one touchdown, one interception. What do you guys think? Corey, you didn't see it. So he broke out of the pocket, makes a sidearm throw to try to get a first down, would have extended the drive, or if the ball gets dropped, Florida's in field goal position to go get some points. Nick, like, obviously it ended up in an interception, or Jordan, you too, like, obviously it ended up in an interception. Never going to be good when that happens, but, like, oh, man.
That's rough.
a sidearm throw. Ball gets tipped back. I don't know if the pass would have gotten there even if it didn't get tipped. I think at that,
you just got to take care of the football and know circumstances.
You got to throw it out of bounds. Yeah.
You got to throw it out. Unless you got a clear cut, you know, way to move the sticks and to way to put us in a better position. Like you got to have, you know, you can't play hero football. Even though I'm hearing it from even what I'm hearing, it's just hero football. And it's just not, you know, fundamentally sound smart, you know, ball. We're going to be critical of DJ, and he just got to take better care of the football as a leader. You know, that definitely changed the game. If you get 3 points there or opportunity at 3 points, it's a different football game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. You know, some people saying, like, he runs when he shouldn't. And I like that he's running more, whether it's design or scrambling.
I think
he was the number one dual threat quarterback coming out, and he has the mentality of, I'll run it like if I have to. It's not like a first thought to run, but like that's it makes it easier for a running back. It makes it easier for receivers to get open. If you have to play, I say it all the time, if you have to play 11 hats on 11 hats, Jordan can say, like, if you have a quarterback who's a legitimate threat to run, it makes the running back's job easier. It makes everyone's job on offense easier, except for maybe a receiver who runs their route, then turns around and is like, oh, wait, he's running. He's running. Now I got to block.
Yeah, 100%, bro. Just even on like a simple play, like an inside zone, it's a little bit, I ain't gonna get too much into detail, but as a running back, when you're running inside zone, let's just say you're running to the right, the line is gonna be pushing them that way. So your natural cut will be just a cut back to the left. But if you have a quarterback like DJ Lagway who can potentially pull the ball, now you have a little bit more space on that cutback lane because that defensive end has to honor that pull. So it's a lot more space to work with when you cut back versus if you got a quarterback who's not pulling the ball, that DN just going to crash down every time.
Right.
Really, you're not going to get that cutback as often. Now you're getting a 2-3 yard gain off inside zone where you can get like 5 for the defense, right, just honoring DJ Lagway. But I do love that we had some more design runs since Billy's been fired. I don't know why we haven't shined away from that. I guess because they're scared for him to get hurt, but it's football, baby. Let's use them.
It's matter at this point.
Yeah, my says no point in having a dual threat quarterback to not run them. Like, that makes no sense. So,
yeah, I mean, Jordan, you're right. You know, I thought he only had 36 yards rushing. He did have a first down on third down. I thought it was his best game running the ball. I thought he was a lot more confident running the ball. He threw his shoulder, you know, down to, you know, fight for an extra couple of yards. But I thought this was the most comfortable we've seen him. He's second on the team with 36 yards. Jaden Ball, 61 yards. He's at 808 for the year. So not quite UF getting 2 1,000-yard rushers. But also the idea that Jaden Ball could get 1,000 yards is definitely not out of the realm of possibility with Tennessee and Florida State left to go.
Yeah, he could get there. What are we at, 8-something?
808.
Might be the only good call I had all year. might have crushed that call, Jaden Ball, 1K. Tough season.
There's bridge talk about Tampa that's got me confused in the chat. All right. Receiving, leading the team, TJ Abrams, 3 receptions, 76 yards, by far his best game. He stepped up. I did not quite understand throwing the ball to TJ Abrams on the corner fade to try to score a touchdown. I thought that you could have probably targeted somebody else, but that's not a slight at him. That's just the play call situation. But 76 yards for him. J. Michael Stervin, 62 yards, 1 touchdown. Tony Livingston, 1 catch, 38 yards. Corey from the 2-yard line. They do a swing pass. Maybe that's not the correct term, but something like a swing pass to Tony Livingston, and my man just runs up the sideline. I thought he might have had it. I mean, he wasn't fast enough to like go all the way downfield, but you know, big shout out to Tony Livingston.
Yeah, shout to that man. Yes, most time. Play call. Yeah, I didn't visibly see it. You know, I'm at the point of season where I was devastated when they took it off. Right, I was watching it, and then they just wiped the game off of YouTube, whatever. I'm not paying for YouTube either, so it's not like they did me wrong in any capacity. I just
I was gonna say, I was like, no, YouTube and TV just came back. You meant like YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, no, nah, you real YouTube, okay. Like really, I'm roughing it, bro. I'm not paying, like, you know,
Russian streams of Southern college football.
Yeah, but they had everybody else's up. Like, I'm like, why y'all take down the game that I want to watch? Florida State was still up. It was just so many other games up, but they take down the game, and all they had was like the audio. I'm like, I am definitely gonna listen in, like, regardless of, you know, how bad we are. I at least gotta listen, like it's 1968, bro. Who cares? But I didn't get to see the play calling, but it sounded like there was some here and there. We just ran out of plays from what it sounded like. 24 points in the first half. I felt good. You know, I still felt good with leaving having Lane stress out, having the Ole Miss fans stress out a little bit. But I can't really get into a lot of breakdowns and X and O's and, you know, who was making mistakes outside of what I'm hearing. I was hearing, so.
I will say this, like Ole Miss – the fans, my goodness, Florida fans, y'all have been giving them hell for an entire stadium to be so pressed that at the end of a game when you're beating a 3-win team to start chanting, we want our own coach who's under contract to continue to be our coach who's still under contract. I was like, man, this is crazy. This is crazy. 61
Florida fans were definitely joining in on that chant.
We want them to.
There were 61,800 people. I think that chant united the entire stadium, or whether you were in orange and blue or you were in red, united the entire stadium. I'm standing there down there at the end of the field, and they're chanting, "We want Kiffin." I'm like, that's crazy. He is under contract. Yeah,
we do too. Yep. It's literally the definition of poverty.
Jaden Ball, 16 yards receiving. Aiden Mizell, 14 yards on 3 catches. Nashawn Montgomery, 1 catch for 7 yards right on the sideline there. It was a good catch. And then Hayden Hansen, 2 catches for 5 yards.
Fan favorite.
Yeah. Blocking gives up, or the offensive line in blocking gives up 0 sacks, 0 hits. Good job by the offensive line. 6 hurries and 6 pressures there. Defense. End the game with 5 sacks of Trinidad Chambliss. In this one, overall, Miles Graham, Corey, you mentioned, looked incredible. Jaden Woods, I think, played the most snaps that he has this season. He had 42. I thought Micah Burrow, Micah Boyru, and Makai Boyru, I should get his name right. It's the end of his first year. And then Brandon Bett had a good game. Sharif Denson had a good game in this one. Looking at where we're at, 16 missed tackles in this one. And then, I mean, it was really in rushing, right? The rush defense just struggled mightily to allow over 200 yards, including a couple of long runs in this game. Just they just didn't have the horses to keep going. But
yeah,
Miles Graham is going to be an All-American one day.
What a guy. What a guy. They just don't make him like that no more. Old school, traditional linebacker that run down hill with a lot of bad intentions, for sure tackler, good in pass coverage. Like, what a guy.
You know what, too, Corey? You probably didn't see this, or you didn't,
I didn't
hear
see
that.
It.
But there was a play on the goal line where Miles Graham is down, and he, like, gets kind of pushed over by Lacey, and then he continues to fight, and they ultimately make the tackle. It's not like he just gave up. He had the heart, and there was just something magical about that play for him. And I'm not sure if that was one of the drives where Ole Miss scored, because Florida stopped them under the 5-yard line twice. So I wasn't sure if that was that play, but Corey, you'd be really happy to have watched that play. You'd be very proud of Miles Graham.
I might go back and watch just to get all happy, just for you, Dan. I want to get happy, so I could use some happiness.
Did
you watch that yesterday as the streets was cooking you? Did you just go watch Miles Graham just ball out?
No. Yesterday, I had a great round of golf. Went out, watched some NFL. Yesterday was not that bad of a day. No, I watched the game from home. Normally, I like to watch it out with some friends and whatnot, but sat here right on the couch and had a good viewing opportunity for this one. But, you know, I thought the defense fought. You know, the team fought. It just – it wasn't enough. And, like, how much more could you expect? You fired your coach, right? Like, it's still the same other coaches. It's still the same injury situation that you have. You still don't have development at certain areas. And it's like, this is who you have. And the fact that they were up 24-20 at halftime, like, I was about ready to go streaking in the quad, but I didn't have to do that. And fortunately, didn't get arrested.
Yeah, I had a fire win tweet cooked up. I just have not been able to get in my bag. This team has prevented me from getting in my bag after games. I think the last good one was the Texas one. I did want to talk about this, Dan. I was trying. They did not. I was down on the field. There was.
Oh, yeah, that was. Yeah, I have a couple starred things to talk about the penalties.
Yeah, so it happened.
Did not like the penalties, man.
I was standing next to like Kevin Camps, Tate Casey. Tate Casey's celebrating because it was definitely gonna be a penalty. I have not watched the game back again, and it might be as a, it might come as a surprise to you. The Ole Miss video people did not replay it on the video board.
He so got there. He got there early.
So I only saw it live. They did not show it again on the boards, which tends to make me think it didn't look good for the home team.
No. And people are wondering, was that a makeup call? There was a play call earlier in the game when Ole Miss kicked a field goal. They made it, and Tyreek Sapp pushed. Was it Tyreek Sapp that pushed the helmet off? Or I forgot who it was.
No, I think Tyreek Sapp's was the offsides.
His was the offsides, yeah.
And yeah,
I don't know who
the helmet.
Brendan Bett or Micah Mekhi Boireau, but knocked off one of the offensive linemen's helmets during the play, and it probably should have been a first down. George Gums, thank you. George Gums knocked the helmet off. I think that there should be a rule that your helmet has to be like completely fastened, because the way and how quickly that came off, it didn't seem like maybe the helmet wasn't fully buckled, in which case maybe the penalty shouldn't be there. But was it a makeup call? Who knows? You don't know. It was definitely pass interference. He definitely got there early. Florida should have had a new set of downs, but like, they also scored 0 points in the second half. So
if you pick up a flag, then it's got to be clearly that it wasn't not a penalty. So if you throw a flag and then pick it back up and it's controversial, like what are we doing here? It looks like the fix is in. We've been dealing with a lot of just like gambling stuff with different sports and whatnot and people being involved in it. But if you have a situation like that where it's a clear pass interference and you go pick the flag up, like, I just think that's suspect. You know, I don't know where we're trying to review things and whatnot, but I thought that was a very detrimental part of the game. Of course, the offsides with Sapp as well, but I think both of those plays were definitely game changers.
Yeah. So Lane Kiffin was loud. He was in their ear. He was pissed off, frustrated. Was it a makeup call? It could have been.
You got to work the refs. It's a part of it's part of the gig, man.
Yep. It sure
only
is,
squeaky wheel gets the oil.
That's right. And so that's where we end. So again, the Gators lose 34-24. Host number 21 Tennessee this week before playing FSU to finalize their game. We will discuss. There's a lot of new people that are here. We appreciate. There's almost 12,000 of you guys watching right now. So we appreciate you guys watching.
Biggest.
So, Corey, you did say we are the biggest. So so we will be back on Friday, Friday morning. And then because of everything that happened, I'm fleeing the country for a little while. So I'll be gone for a couple weeks, and I'm sure that's when all the news and all the fun's going to happen.
For real.
it really is, you know. You know, after everything, I just need to flee the country for a little while. So I will not be here next Monday and the final game day eve show. I will be here on Friday. But we appreciate everybody. Before we do that, we got two final sponsors, and these are two great sponsors that you guys should go check out. Our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks, if you want a really cool cup like this one, which is kind of the old Steve Spurrier polo motif. Nick has one. Corey has one. Jordan has that one. Go check them out. GameTimeSidekicks.com. Shout out to them. They are now also going to sponsor Florida Basketball Hour, who,
yes, sir,
the Florida Gators just moved to 3-1 on the season with wins over FSU and Miami this week. So we'll get Neil on and Eric on in the next couple weeks to talk about the Gators basketball team. So they're still kind of coming into their own, and you know, you brought two new guards in, so they're still trying to all figure out how to play. But shout out to them. But they're going to be a sponsor with Florida Basketball Hour. So. And if you're looking for other podcasts, shout out to our friends over at Breakfast with the Gators. They do a fantastic job. They seem to be really well received right now as well. So
gang,
they
gang. Put out
great content. They travel a lot. They're out there tailgating. They're at every game. So definitely go check out them. Jackson, Will, Devin, all of them, they do great content. And then finally, Gator.
Will Solid. That's my guy.
Yeah. They're all great. All great dude.
I'm just joshing. Go ahead.
And then if you ain't a Gator podcast with our guy JB, he hosts that one. So again, it's us on Mondays and Fridays, Florida Basketball Hour. They drop two episodes a week. Breakfast with the Gators, they drop an indiscriminate number of episodes a week. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two, sometimes it's three. But they put out great content. And then finally, if you ain't a Gator, JB, and I think he goes twice a week. So definitely go check out the other podcasts on our network. Thank you guys for supporting us. And then finally, go visit our friends over at Alumni Hall. If you are in Gainesville, right on Archer Road, or if you are looking online, alumnihall.com, they are going to have the largest selection of Florida Gator apparel, accessories, gifts, ornaments, holiday trinkets, whatever it might be out there. Let them know your friends at Stadium Miguel sent you over there. But we appreciate all of our sponsors. They've been rocking with us for a really long time. All 12,000 of you, if you could hit the retweet button, hit the like button. We appreciate everybody for the super chat. We appreciate the support. We'll let you know as things happen. But enjoy your nights. And Nick, I think you got song of the week, brother.
Not ready.
Close it. Yep, not ready. Right. I didn't let Nick know.
Nick's been listening to some rubbish. What do you got, man? That archive.
What would you
old DMX
driving up this weekend?
Like another Irish jig.
This guy's not prepared, man.
No, we're gonna go back to Teddy Swims. I've been listening to him still.
The goat.
What's one I like? I already did Small Hands from Teddy Swims. We'll go to Lose Control, Teddy Swims.
Lose control. All right, boys. We'll see you at the same corner, same time on Friday. Thanks, everybody, for watching.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.